Walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal.
Good morning. This is September 11th, the day when I think we should take a moment here of silence to remember the day in whatever way is most meaningful to you. Also, before we proceed any further, I'd like to thank all those folks who pledged in support of Talking Animals in WNF's just completed fall fund drive. Owing to a sizable pledge in the final moment, we did actually reach our goal. So again, thank you so much for all your support. Appreciate it. Onward. This is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Strauss, and my guest today is Catherine Michon, who wears a sizable number of showbiz hats. Let's see, there's best-selling author, stand-up comic, actress, feature film director, producer, screenwriter. And she's enjoyed her biggest success in the realm of what might be called canine cinema. That is, with husband W. Bruce Cameron, Michon co-wrote A Dog's Purpose, the film adaptation of Cameron's number one New York Times best-selling novel, starring Dennis Quaid, reportedly the most popular live-action dog movie of all time. This week, Michon steps back into her author guise while bridging the sensibility of A Dog's Purpose, publishing a distinctive new book, I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever, replete with evocative illustrations by Seth Taylor. Written from the point of view of a dog that's crossed the Rainbow Bridge, I'm Still Here offers soothing dispatches filed by that canine correspondent, assuring those brokenhearted folks left behind that they have much reason for hope, love, and healing. For anyone who's followed Michon's own dog saga, I'm Still Here is wholly consistent with that ethos. Crucial beats of that real-life story include her explaining to Cameron when they were dating that, having been gutted by the passing of her dog Ellie, she'd never have another pooch. On the spot, Cameron made up the story that actually became A Dog's Purpose, seeking to puncture her position, her no-dog position. And for some years now, the couple has shared their lives with a sweet dog named Tucker. As intertwined personally and professionally as Catherine Michon is with this narrative, it's unsurprising that I'm Still Here, written in free verse, by the way, arrives as a comforting love letter to those who may be clinging to the no more dogs for me stance Michon once espoused. We'll delve into this book, I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever, and surely other dog topics when I speak with Catherine Michon in just a moment here on Talking Animals on WNF. Meanwhile, coming up later in today's program, I'll speak with Peyton Davis, Marketing Manager at the Humane Society of Pinellas, to give us a brief overview of their Walk for Whiskers event scheduled for Saturday, September 21st, with a full slate of activities, including the charity walk that gives the fundraising event its name, but also adoptable dogs, vendors, doggy costume contests, and so on. We'll hear more about this Walk for Whiskers when we talk with Peyton Davis a bit later in today's show. Right now, though, let's discuss dogs that are with us and dogs who are no longer with us, including one who's the voice of I'm Still Here, Dog's Purpose Forever, the new book by today's guest, Catherine Michon. With a reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj at wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Catherine Michon back to Talking Animals. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. It's so good to hear your voice.
And likewise, yeah, it's been a while, and I guess we should just note in passing as some sort of more than full disclosure requirement that many moons ago when I was in the showbiz ranks, I was a manager and you were one of my clients. And of course, after that ended, that's when all the huge success came. So you can draw any inference you want from that, I guess.
No, I will not let that stand. You were the greatest manager and I would be nothing without you. So all self-deprecation aside, I treasure the time that we worked together. It was amazing.
All right. Well, me too. Let's agree to disagree with the self-deprecation, I guess. So
because I'm the one that says I chased you out of show business.
Okay. Well, there you go. So anyway, congratulations on the new book. So I think it just yesterday was the actual publication date.
Was. And it was the strangest publication date ever because this book has been a bestseller since the cover dropped. And on my opening day of publication, we sold out of the first printing. So that's a pretty crazy big deal. And so you can get the book anywhere good books are sold, but you might have to wait a few days because they're doing a rush printing and putting more books into the system.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good problem to have. Was that a reflection of people just responded to the cover so much that they said, hey, I don't even know what's inside, but I'm just going to get the book?
That was a huge part of it. Although, you know, with it being related to A Dog's Purpose, which was a huge international bestseller, it could be a bestseller, I think people were interested, you know. And really, there isn't another book out there like this. There isn't a gift book that you can give to someone who has lost a dog that's a beautiful graphic book with told from the point of view of the dog about this process, this eternal relationship that I believe we have with them.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to delve deeply into that in a moment or two. But in the introduction, I mentioned that just a couple of the dog-oriented films and books that you've been involved with. And of course, we'll get time still here in a moment or two. But you're at least indirectly involved with a sort of a dizzying number of dog books over the years and certainly a few dog films. So to provide some context for the discussion we're about to have about your new book, let's at least touch on this sort of canine body of work. Talk to me at least a little bit in whatever you like about the books and the films that have sort of all come gushing forth in the last few years.
Well, I mean, A Dog's Purpose, which was the thing that started it all, really, is my husband's brilliant novel that's really, I think, a classic book. And I was the first editor of that book because he just hauled off and wrote it and then, you know, sold it to Millen later. And then I was the person who got the manuscript to Gavin Pallone, who's a known wonderful animal advocate and a good friend, and I said, if anybody will produce this movie, it will be Gavin Pallone, and he did. And you know, then getting to be the screenwriter for that film and the subsequent films, I have to tell you, I was a screenwriter a long time before I came to writing the voices of dogs, but you would never ask for a more optimistic, joyful, amazing character to live in their head, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just a delight because they're a delight. We all know that. But, you know, in my book, which is really just a continuation of the sort of writing I was doing in the movies, the dog he talks about the eternal nature of our souls, but he really wants you to know how important chicken is. You know, like, it's all the same to him, you know? Everything about the nature of his soul is pretty much joy and delight. And, you know, I don't know the people you know. If you know a ton of people like that, you're lucky. But I don't.
Yeah. Well, like I say, we'll get to that that book, I promise, in just a moment. I will keep circling back. But I just think it is, for a lot of people whose memories maybe are jogged or maybe don't even know about all the books and movies that precede that, I think it's really notable. And in fact, when did you, I've been wondering this for a while, when did you first realize, holy smoke, there's kind of an empire here in this whole dog book, dog movie thing?
Well, I mean, I think you know that I'm a dog lover. And I think most of the time, Hollywood doesn't really consider the real relationship that we have with them. And it really wasn't until the film A Dog's Purpose that you heard about this relationship from the dog's point of view in a way that was a real dog. You know, the dog doesn't... I loved The Art of Racing in the Rain, but that's a book about a dog who speaks English, who learned English from TV. The dogs that Bruce writes are... You know, they understand car ride and go for a walk and chicken, but they don't understand what we're saying. So to hear, like in A Dog's Purpose, when the people are kissing and he's like, are they fighting over food? Like, what's happening?
Yeah,
you know, just all
what's going on?
Observation.
Yeah. They speak dog, but they don't really speak much English other than the key phrases.
Yeah, the stuff that matters to them that they bother to learn, you know, or the stuff that they don't really like that they learn, like sit and stay and, you know. But I think it was kind of a revelation because nobody's ever told a story that way. And we've made three movies now where the dog is guiding you through the story. And, you know, the movies have been number one all over the world. They were number one in China. They were number one in Korea and Mexico. You know, like, people really want to tap into hearing from the dog.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, what's special about the dog empire, as you call it, of entertainment that we've made, both Bruce's book and now my book and the movies. You know, dog ownership increased 20% in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Which is an enormous thing. And so more people than ever. And what's interesting is the biggest segment of the population that got dogs was the millennials on downward. So there's a whole new generation of adults who are making dogs members of their family.
Yeah.
And I love that we're having that conversation with them through books and films, you know?
Yeah. And I think also, like you said, the way Bruce wrote the book and then the way the films kind of have unfolded since, it is a different way of doing things for people who have seen any kind of dog-related films over the years. And then I think probably the anticipation of, like, after you see and saw The Dog's Purpose, then, like, the next film that these guys make, I want to see, because of the way the dog is handled and the way that dog talks or doesn't talk or understands or doesn't understand is right up my alley, and that's my understanding of dogs. So I think that's probably why it was embraced and people were eager to have the next one come down the pike whenever it was ready.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, people have misunderstood it. You know, I love the people that made the movie, but I did not love the movie Strays because these were vindictive, mean dogs. And I think nobody related to that because nobody has that dog. And it was a very expensive movie, and there were amazing people involved, and there was some great humor to it. But people want to watch entertainment with dogs specifically represents the true character of them, which is that they are the most loving, unconditionally loving. They love you a little more when you have chickens, but they love you anyway.
Right.
You know?
And then they're snoozing on the couch in the living room. That's kind of more like what the dog, the people are interested in movies about, not the guys that are attack dogs or
right.
Super snarly or whatever might be going on in some of those other films. Yeah, and I guess I should say this kind of big collective juggernaut now includes, of course, books for adults, as we've addressed in movies,
yeah.
But also books for kids, as Bruce seems to kind of keep widening out his incredibly prolific output.
Well, no one is more prolific than my husband. I've even had to go to therapy to talk. She says, nobody's Bruce. Don't measure yourself against Bruce. But these kids' books, there's the Puppy Tales, and then he now has a Working Dog series. He just published the second book in that series, and that's about a fire dog, a firehouse dog. But what we hear from teachers about these books is that kids who are reluctant readers really tap into the Puppy Tales or the Working Dog book because it's an easier narrative voice for them to relate to, and most of them know or have a dog. And, you know, Bruce has said, he never pictured himself to be a children's book author, and now he said he feels like it might be his most important legacy because, especially in a world of screens, getting kids to care about reading, love reading, is so satisfying.
That's huge. I mean, it's so significant. And again, there's so many kids who you can't get them to read. And then something like one of Bruce's books comes along, or some other opportunity or something that just connects with them, and suddenly they can't start. Where's the next book? Where's the next one? So that's so great.
You know, and he tours a ton. He's going on an enormous tour this fall. He does, you know, bookstores and book festivals and all the grown-up events. But he also he'll speak to an entire school district of kids at an assembly. And I mean to tell you, as somebody who used to be a stand-up comic, there isn't a tougher room than a bunch of grade school kids. And he has them in the palm of his hand. Maybe it's because he's a dad of three and he just knows how to talk to kids. But he interacts with them. He brings them up on stage. It's just beautiful what he's doing in
these
appearances. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to get, believe it or not, as I promised to, I'm still here, but I'm going to quickly incorporate one email that came in that I felt like was almost inevitable, so I guess we'll just sort of deal with it. It says, what does your guest think about Trump's weird claim on the immigrant dog eating a myth in Ohio? Such an oddball. That's from Bubba out in cyberspace somewhere.
Oh, thank you, Bubba. That's crazy. And it's, you know, here's what's the good thing about dogs. They're not political. Thank God. And the whole idea that someone is you know, taking this deep affection we have for these creatures and trying to demonize other people. No one's eating dogs. That's not happening. I'm glad the fact checkers checked it. You know?
Yeah. Okay. So I think we can dispense with that. And one other quick question that came in by email, and then we'll move on. Yeah. I promise. This one says, was Jack London the first to write stories narrated by dogs?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, sorry. It says, was Jack London the first to write stories narrated by dogs?
I think he was. I think in modern literature, yes.
That's my kind of fuzzy recollection, so I was curious.
And of course, they're beautiful books.
Yeah.
And he's a great author. It's interesting. I wish the recent film adaptation of that one, that's a good example of why making CG movies with animals really doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
I'm very proud of this. We have revolutionized the way that animals are treated in filmmaking. There's a whole new organization, Not American Humane, that we work with that monitors the animals on our set. And it's very important that they be trained with the love, praise, and affection as opposed to the, you know, harsh barking out of command.
More aggressive style, yeah.
Yeah, we don't do that on our films. And I think the results show. And I really believe, I won't mention the organization that doesn't believe that domestic animals should work in film. We never work with wild animals. We made a film where there was a cougar, and that was CG. We would never work with a wild animal in a film.
Yeah.
But we do work with dogs, and I will say the dogs are treated better on set than the screenwriters or the directors. they are the primary stars, and we treat them as such.
Yeah, and the dogs are saying behind the scenes, hey, this is a good gig. I like this. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we rescued a dog. We rescued Shelby. We wanted to prove that rescue dogs could do anything, and Sony backed us on this. And Shelby was the star of A Dog's Way Home. She had been in a junkyard in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and we rescued her, and she became the star. And, of course, she always has, all our dogs have doubles. There was Amber, who was also rescued. And my favorite thing was that those two dogs, I said they were like Joan Crawford and Betty Davis. They were so jealous of each other when the other was on camera. Shelby was the beautiful close-up dog because her face is so, so stunning. And then Amber was the one that would do the big stunts and run up a slide and, you know, all these things.
It's good to have a stunt double if you're a dog, for sure.
Yeah.
Life is going well.
I love the relationship between them because they clearly wanted to be the one front and center, always.
For sure. So, in case folks have just tuned in, this is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you did just tune in, my guest is Catherine Michon, who co-wrote with her husband, as we're sort of talking here, W. Bruce Cameron, A Dog's Purpose, the film adaptation of Cameron's huge best-selling novel. And that film is considered the most popular live-action dog movie of all time. And this week, Catherine has stepped back into her author guise or persona, and while bridging the sensibility of A Dog's Purpose, publishing this distinctive new book we're just about to discuss called I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever, written from the point of view of a dog who's crossed the Rainbow Bridge. So if you have a question for Catherine, or would like to offer a comment about dogs here, dogs no longer with us, whatever interests you in the context of this conversation, please call 813-239-9663, email dj at wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. So amidst all the output that we've just discussed that you and Bruce collectively have created, I'm Still Here stands as a truly distinctive book. So I guess the first thing I'd like to discuss, not surprising maybe, is the genesis of it. So tell me about the circumstances surrounding the initial notion of I'm Still Here.
Well, A Dog's Purpose was quite a journey for Bruce and I, and of course we've met thousands of people. And in A Dog's Purpose, it's a reincarnating dog who remembers all of his lives. And of course, the dog dies but then comes back. So I say the dog never really dies in the dog's purpose. But we began to realize that as profound as the message of the novel is, it is not a book you give to someone when they first lost a dog. And we really wanted there to be a sort of a more gentle, visually beautiful graphic book that would have gorgeous watercolor paintings and would be something that you could give someone when they came back from the vet from putting down their dog.
Yeah.
And we just knew that that book was needed, and it literally doesn't exist. You can't find another book that has that message, especially the fact that it's coming from the dog, you know?
Yeah.
Like one of the most profound things that we all say, oh, why must they live such short lives? It's so tragic, right? That's what humans think, but no one's ever asked the dog about that. And in I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever, the dog says that he thinks it's a good thing. He says it's good because we can go first and show you that it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And at the end of your life, when you cross the bridge, we can be there to greet you. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of hospice workers, right? And they say that when people are passing, they see the people and animals they love at the end of the bed, as the dog in my book says, coming to fetch you home,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And no one ever asks the dog. The dog thinks it's a good idea. It's hard for us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. And people, yeah, often also at the end, you know, whether they've had a dog with them or they've been allowed to or not, they often say, like, you know, good boy, whatever the dog's name is, or one, some of their final words or that thing. So it shows you that how profound that connection is right till the last moments on this side of the Rainbow Bridge. So along those lines, because this is for people, like you said, that were having just had to say goodbye to a dog. So I was curious, knowing your story a little bit too, to what extent were you aiming to speak with yourself, like, current Catherine to earlier Catherine, come in, please. Sort of.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's so profound, and that is so true. I swear that I wrote this book as much for myself as I did for anyone else.
Yeah.
My dog is on the cover, and he's a senior dog, and I know that that time is coming. And I really wanted to give people the message that I got when Bruce initially told me the story of A Dog's Purpose, which is that when your dog leaves, they very much want you to have another dog if you don't have a dog in the house, because they can't imagine you without a dog, because they feel it is their purpose to guide you. And they also really want you to know, and I believe this with all my heart, this is really true, they will let you know when it's time, and they want you to know that they understand that you're helping them cross over. And we can't do that for people, you know, for all the reasons.
Yeah.
But we can do it for them, and it's what we owe them so that they don't pass in pain and that they can make their transition. And I held my dog, Ellie, in my arms when she passed, and I know she was grateful that she was being helped. And it's a hard decision.
Yeah.
But I think it's easier if you believe, as I do, that they understand. They let you know. They let you know.
They really do. I mean, I think all of us that have loved and lived with animals have grappled with, am I a little too late? I don't want to do that. Am I a little too soon? I don't really want to do that either, selfishly. So it's like you have to sort of grapple with it. But usually there's a real signal. And you just have to pay attention to that. So is the book I'm holding in my hand here, which I am in the studio, the book you initially conceived, or did it evolve from, you know, initial idea of, like, here's something we really need to offer people, to what became the final version of the book?
Well, I'm really thrilled. It took 10 years. I wanted it to be free verse, but it really is dialogue, you know? It is the dog speaking to you very directly. And so in the writing of it, I'm very happy. But what took so long, honestly, was finding a wonderful publisher, Andrews McNeil, who was willing to do a full-color book with full-color watercolor paintings on every page and this beautiful textured watercolor paper and a gorgeous cover with gold embossing, and really to have it be this keepsake book. a lot of publishers wanted to do like a big coffee table book. It'd be like $75. And I wanted, this is a $20 book, which means it is something you can give to a friend, a normal person can buy and give to them when that transition happens. And so it just took a long time to find someone who got the vision of it. And I'm so grateful that I found this publisher.
Yeah. Well, you touched on sort of just two creative elements of it that of course, I was curious about. First of all, writing the book in free verse. Where along the lines would you think, okay, this is the way I'm going to try to present this material because that might be the most effective? Or how did you arrive at the free verse?
Well, I mean, you knew me as a comic, so you didn't think of me as a poet, I'm sure. But I always wrote free verse, like from the time I was a kid. Like, I that's the way you can refine, but I did it for myself. I mean, really, no one goes into poetry like for a job, right?
Yeah. It's hard to make a good living in free verse usually, but
Right. But for this book, because it reduces dialogue down to its essence,
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what we do in the film, right? Film dialogue is, you could almost say, free verse, because it isn't, if you just listen to a transcript of people talking, oh my God, they go on and they repeat themselves over and over. This reduces what the dog has to say to its most essential truth. Even just the title, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still your dog. I don't have my dog body, but I do have my dog soul, which is my best part.
Yeah. Like
that's just a very simple way of expressing a lot of universal truth.
Yeah, and I've got to believe that, like with a lot of projects, it was probably hard to winnow down like what you weren't going to include relative to what you were going to include in the story that unfolds here, because it seems like there's a lot to choose from.
Little side trips, like he says, if I could give dogs any advice, I would say this: don't chew shoes. They're delicious, but don't do it. People hate it, these little snippets of dog advice, for dogs, and then advice for people. He says that fear, people spend too much of their time in fear, and that fear chases away love and fear chases away joy.
Yeah.
And my dog Tucker, he understands the phrase go for a car ride. He knows that phrase.
Yeah.
And he's excited about it, and he's a senior dog, and every time we go for a car ride, he's excited. But about half the time, he's going to the vet now because, that's just where he's at.
Yeah. So it's a mixed bag going in the car at this point for old Tucker, probably.
But he doesn't see it as a mixed bag.
Right.
He always sees it as something positive.
Because he initially associated it with something really fun and exciting, and he still does think of that, unless we make that right turn over towards where the vet's office is.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, so we go to the vet, he gets a shot or whatever it is, and then once that's over, that's over, and we're on to the next great thing.
Yeah.
People don't do that. We cling to what went wrong. We worry about politics and taxes and, paying the mortgage and all the things that we have to do. But they can show us how we should tilt towards joy, that joy is the purpose of our lives, and their purpose is to show us that.
For sure. Well, sort of in how that's presented in another form, we talked about the free verse, but I'm also, I guess, curious about the artistic decision of the color illustrations, because that seems like that's a huge, significant part of the book and the presentation of the material. And why color illustrations, or when did you know that was the way this needed to be presented? And then how did you find Seth Taylor, I guess, is part two?
Yeah, I always wanted it to be watercolors because I think, they're very bespoke and you can't fake them. AI can't do them.
Yeah.
And they're real and they're of the moment, because watercolor is a very tricky medium. And so I was definitely focused that they should be watercolor, full color paintings. And since I've become a film director, I love the process of storyboarding. So I storyboarded this whole book. I took thousands of reference photographs, both of my own dog and other dogs, and laid out how I visually wanted the text first, of course, and then laid out how I wanted to visually tell the story. And then this all happened in COVID. So my agent, Jane Distel in New York, had a number of artists that she represented, and I looked through their work, and I liked the best. But we've literally never met. I mean, it was an entirely remote process. And, you know, he took the storyboards and did rough sketches, and my editor, Gene Lucas, and I gave notes, and then he would do a beginning of the painting and more notes, and then, you know, that's how it proceeded.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, not coincidentally, as the book itself was intended to be sort of a comfort or a soothing to people, especially who may have just recently said goodbye to a dog or I guess even another animal. I mean, the illustrations are similarly soothing, I think. There's something very, I mean, they're beautiful and, you know, obviously you see Tucker and you see depictions of you. But they're also comforting in the way they're presented in the colors and just the way, I guess, Seth Taylor works, or at least works in this particular instance.
And we kind of went with the Charlie Brown philosophy. We called it, you know, you never see a person's face fully. You might see the edge of an ear or something, but it really is the dogs are the star. And, of course, Tucker's kind of the main star because he's playing, he's the model for this angel dog that's telling you and wanting you to know that he's still here. And he loved doing it, by the way. He gets paid in cheese, and he's...
the best currency ever, yeah.
The best currency ever, little tiny pieces of cheese. And he gets very excited. I'll say, Tucker, do you want to do cheese work? Want to do cheese work? And he's like, let's go!
Yeah.
The only shoot he did not like was the bath sequence.
It seems to be very consistent with both Tucker and the dog that's speaking in this book and many others as well. Anti-bath.
Very anti-bath.
Yeah.
And the day I had to shoot him in the tub meant that we were having a bath, but it was a little longer than most baths. He was not a happy camper.
Yeah.
But he got cheese.
This is going to cost you extra cheese, for sure.
Extra cheese for that sequence,
No doubt. This is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Trust. My guest is Catherine Michon, who co-wrote with husband W. Bruce Cameron, A Dog's Purpose and Other Successful Dog Movies. And yesterday published a brand new book, I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever, written from the point of view of a dog who's crossed the Rainbow Bridge. You're invited to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj at WNF.org, or texting 813-433-0885. So, Catherine, if someone called I'm Still Here a grief book, would they be wrong, and if so, or right, and if so, why?
Well, it's funny because my husband did give me a blurb for the book, which is great, and I kind of like what he said. He said, this is not a book about grief. This is a book about a return to joy.
Yeah.
Who better to explain the eternal nature of our souls and the love between them than one very wise dog who loves you and is watching over you? So, I mean, I think, of course, you are processing grief, but the point that the dog is making, and again, this is understanding the process of a dog passing from the dog's point of view, is that they want you to return to joy, and that's really the message of this book, you know?
Yeah. And along those lines, I'm working on writing this book and working through some of the things that became the book and some things probably that were got left behind as you worked through a draft.
Always.
Was there a degree to which you were comforted, obviously retroactively, in the loss of your beloved dog, Ellie, which obviously was devastating, but I mean, it was some years ago, but I just wonder if the process of creating this book affected you in some way that was helpful in that regard.
Absolutely. And I feel her. You know, Bruce named one of the dogs in A Dog's Purpose, Ellie, for Ellie.
Yeah.
And it means to me that there's a continuation from Ellie to Tucker. You know, there's a cliche that people often say, the dog you love today was sent by the dog you loved yesterday. And the way Tucker came to us, I really feel that's true. I was, he was rescued by my stepdaughter who runs rescue in Denver, and she was just so convinced that he was the dog for us, and she called her dad and said, I have the dog for you. And I said, oh, tell her, you know, we'll rescue in L.A. She doesn't, we're not an interstate rescue, whatever. She says, I'm coming Wednesday.
And
so she got on a Southwest flight, and we picked her up. And all the way to LAX, I was like, look, I think, you know, the dog can stay for the weekend, but I really... We got to the, you know, we picked her up and she took Tucker out of his little carrier purse and put him in my arms, and I was like, this is like that was how much resistance I offered.
Yeah.
But
well, it sounds like it was a good call, picking this dog out for you guys. It sounded like it was the exact right call.
She's a great rescuer. She's the dog whisperer. She knows what dog is right for which family, and she was sure right about this one. So that was a blessing.
So when many of us lose an animal, the intellectual conversation we have with ourselves or with loved ones, especially those that are also affected by the passing, of that animal is that these animals simply don't live as long as we do. So the expectation all along was that we'd have to say goodbye at some point. So that's that's very logical and intellectual. I mean, meanwhile, people are usually blubbering while they're thinking that or saying those things. So in the book, I mean, the gap in sort of dog-human years, like life expectancy, I guess, specifically, is handled quite differently by the dog speaker. Can you address that? We've kind of touched on it a little bit so far, but I think it's really kind of a central point.
I think it's part of what they're here for. I think we do need to, we're mortal, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to leave. And I think it's an, almost an exercise in allowing your heart to open again after loss. I really believe that is the purpose of our lives, constantly allowing our hearts to open wider. And so I say to people, look, I don't go to the shelter the day after you've lost your dog, but the beginning of the process of opening your heart again is that when you're walking down the street and a dog comes towards you wagging, take that moment and bend down and say hello to that dog.
Yeah.
Because they just have a spigot of love energy that if you let it in, you'll realize you absolutely need it in your life. And you can find the courage, as I did. I was the girl that said, I'll never have another dog, to open your heart again. And I will do that when Tucker is gone after, you know, the time has passed. But in the meantime, another aspect of this book that I specifically designed, we don't have rituals really for marking that loss. And so the front leaf of this book is a beautiful painting of footsteps, mine, and paw prints, Tucker's, in the sand. And it's specifically designed so that you can, like, take little scrapbook photo corners and mount a photo of your dog right on that very first page of the book so that every time you open it, you see that dog that you're remembering. And I think that ritual is really important. And I've never actually heard of a book that was designed for you to customize it for yourself. And I'm really proud that is part of it. And literally on Pub Day, I got a text from a friend who went to my pre-launch party and bought the book and then came to work Monday and heard that her friend's dog had passed. So she sent me, she had the little photo corners that she got from the event, and she showed me that picture. The dog was named Burt Reynolds, by the way.
Okay.
Photograph. Burt Reynolds, the dog, in the front of my book. And I'm like, that's my vision. That's what I wanted this book to do out in the world.
Wow. Well, that's really further powerful and again, just sort of an incredible gesture for people that are right in the deepest throes of grief, which obviously this person you're describing, her friend, clearly would have been. So, no, that's great. So you kind of made reference to this. I wasn't sure if I was going to ask you about this or not, but not to cast too big of a pall here, but in creating this book and thinking through everything, all the observations and assurances offered by the pooch speaker, you know, I'm still here. How differently do you feel prepared for when the time comes for you to say goodbye to Tucker?
I do, and I don't, obviously, because I need to be a human being and feel my feelings. You can't
for sure
grieve things with anyone.
Yeah.
But the last metaphor of the book, there is a trick that Tucker does called take your own leash and go home.
Yeah.
Where I toss his leash in the air and he picks it up and he runs to home, wherever home may be. Like, it could be a hotel room in New York. He'll still go. And he says, the dog narrator in the book says that the process of crossing over is as joyful as the trick, take your own leash and go home.
Yeah.
And when that day happens for Tucker, see, I haven't pre-grieved. It's breaking me up to talk about it.
I will
keep that vision in my mind. I have so much video of him taking his own leash and go home.
Yeah.
And I will always think of that's how he's crossing over. So, but it'll be a hard day.
No, oh, for sure. I just think that you, in helping so many others that will read this book, I got to believe you've helped yourself in some ways, just a far cry from your adamant position in the post-Ellie days. And So, no, that's good.
Well, I think you know me well enough to know that I am a person that could change my mind. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad that I opened my heart to Tucker. And I will open my heart again when Tucker betrays me and leaves me with you.
Yeah.
He's not betraying me. He's just the cycle of life. It's just
for sure
what we take but, on, you know.
Yeah, but the upshot of that sort of arc for you is this great book. So we've kind of just reached the end of our time here. Catherine, but been speaking with Catherine Michon. Her brand new book is I'm Still Here, A Dog's Purpose Forever. And again, you can get that wherever you get your books. And like I said, there may be a little bottleneck just because it's been so popular even before it was published. So that's
You might have to wait a couple days, but please do. I think it will be worth it.
Yeah, for sure. So Catherine, thanks for joining us. Thanks for writing this great book. And it was fun talking to you as always. So thank you
so
much.
So great to talk to you. Thank you for what you do. I love the whole idea of your show, and it's really important, and I think it's been your purpose, and I'm very happy to occasionally be a part of it.
Well, for sure. Well, we've got talking animals, we've got writing animals, we've got author animals, we've got all kinds of things all rolled into one show today, so that's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, Catherine, thanks again. Take care. Good luck with the rest of the book.
Thank you.
In a moment or two, I'll speak with Peyton Davis of the Humane Society of Pinellas about their Walk for Whiskers event scheduled for Saturday, September 21st. Full day of activities. We'll learn more about this when Peyton joins us in just a moment here on Talking Animals on WMF. Right now, we're going to step into the comedy corner with something from a comedian making his Talking Animals debut. It's Amir Kay with a piece relevant to this show and, in a sense, to Catherine Michon's book as well. So this piece is called My Dog Talked to Me, by Amir Kay, in today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals on WNF.
Most dog owners have had that thought, like, I wish my dog could talk.
Yeah.
Right? You have that thought. But immediately after that thought, I have the thought of, he's too needy.
Yeah.
If Doogie could talk, and he had a cell phone. Dude, I'd leave the house for 5 minutes. I'd check my voicemail. It'd be like, you have 30 new voicemails. Boop. Hey, what's going on? It's me, Doogie. Listen, I know you said we're going for a walk. I just kind of wanted to touch base and see what time you were thinking. Go ahead and give me a call back. I'm at home. Boop, hey, it's me again. Listen, have you seen my red ball? Yeah, you know the one we take to the park? Can't seem to find it. Anyway, it's no big deal. Call me again. The Amazon packages are here. Boop. Hey, y'all. You're not going to want to go in the living room. Boop. I'm just kidding. It's me, Doogie. Don't be mad at you.
That was Amir Kay in today's Comedy Corner with a piece called My Dog Talked to Me, taken from a set at the Comedy Cellar in New York. Now it's time to speak with Peyton Davis of the Humane Society of Pinellas about their Walk for Whiskers event coming up on Saturday, September 21st. Here's Peyton Davis on Talking Animals on WNF. Good morning, Peyton.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
Yeah, thank you for having me, for sure.
So let's start with just a brief overview of the Humane Society of Pinellas, like kind of just a little overview of the mission and how wide is the service area of the Humane Society of Pinellas?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Humane Society of Pinellas is lucky to be celebrating 75 years of saving life. And our goal is to prevent animal homelessness in the community and provide care and assistance to animals in need. And we pride ourselves in being 100% no-kill shelter, which means that we will take in high-risk animals and make sure that they get the future that they deserve.
Wow. Sounds impressive. How is the operation funded?
So we are a nonprofit, 501c3, so all of ours is donation-based. So every single donation counts. We're always in need of monetary donations, physical donations. There's looking for specifics on what we need right now. You can always check out our website, humanesocietyofpinellas.org. And you can get under our wish list, and you can view our Amazon wish list. We have a Chewy wish list. There's so many ways that you can give back to us.
That sounds great. And, of course, the thing we're just about to talk about now is, I'm sure, critical for helping support the operation. So let's talk about Walk for Whiskers. I assume that's kind of one of your bigger fundraising events each year.
Yeah, so this is going to be our fourth annual Walk for Whiskers. So we're in our fourth year of doing it. We're super excited. It is coming up really quick, less than 2 weeks away. It's on September 21st, and it's going to be from 2 to 6 at John R. Lawrence Pioneer Park, which is in Dunedin. It's basically right in the middle of the downtown area, which is perfect. And it's going to be a super fun event. Show up at 2 o'clock, and we're going to have some fun vendors in the park. I think we have almost up to 15 vendors that are going to have all kinds of giveaways. We're going to have tie-dye going on. And, of course, we're going to have our adoptable animals out there. And then at 3:30 is when we're going to do our actual walk. And it's going to be a passport, as we call it, stop kind of walk. So you're going to stop at different businesses in Dunedin. So it's a great way to get the community of Dunedin involved, as well as supporting our mission. So we're going to stop at all the stops. You're going to get your passport stopped, and you're going to come back, and then we're going to end up doing a fundraiser kind of event. So we're trying to do, like, peer-to-peer, and we have teams going, and then personal goals. And if you hit your personal goal, you'll be entered into just a contest to see whoever has the most money raised. And whoever has the most money raised will win different prizes.
And speaking of prizes, that all sounds really great, Peyton, but I'm also thinking, if I'm not mistaken, I think I read somewhere where among the other activities that day might be a doggy costume contest.
Yes, there is a doggy costume.
So I'm sure there's quite a fabulous prize for whoever wins that.
Yes. So our theme this year is celebrity look-alike, but feel okay. free to dress your pet up however you feel. But yes, there are three winners for that. The first place winner is going to win this awesome cuddly package from our friends at Cuddly that's going to have some tennis balls in it, some blankets, and then also a Papa John's prize pack, which I'm not fully sure what that is, but we love our friends at Papa John's, and they usually are very generous with pizza parties. And then on top of that, you're also going to win two custom wine bottles from Aspirations Winery. So there's a couple of great things to win just for the first place, but then even the second, third, and fourth, and fifth are even going to win stuff. So definitely come out, bring your personal dog, dress them up, come out to have fun. It's a $25 donation to register right now. You can just go on our website, do the registration. It's super easy. And then we're encouraging everyone to do that peer-to-peer fundraising. So on top of registering, create your team, create your group, whatever you need to do, and start sharing with your friends and family so you can raise even more money for us.
Well, that sounds great. A couple of things you mentioned that I want to just quickly follow up on.
Yeah.
So back to the doggy costume. Have you gotten any initial tips or ideas about what celebrity lookalikes there may be represented at that day's event?
I'm not sure, but I have seen some really great Britney Spears costumes last year.
All right.
So last year we also did a costume contest, and I remember there was a Britney Spears that was pretty incredible. So definitely some great ideas. I know a lot of the great pet stores in the areas also have great costumes. And again, if you don't have a great celebrity pet lookalike, that's totally okay. You can also just dress up, and I'm sure some of the winners will be in all kind of fun costumes.
And then regardless, the dogs are welcome whether they're in costume or not.
Yes, all dogs
to the event.
Are welcome.
Yeah.
We understand that some dogs don't love costumes, and that's totally okay.
Sure.
It's a dog-friendly event. Just be mindful that there will be other dogs there, as well as we'll have our own adoptable dogs there, too.
Yeah.
So just be mindful. Know your dog. Know if they can handle the heat, the crowd, the other dogs. But we would love to see as many dogs out there as possible.
That's very cool. How many dogs, adoptable dogs, do you think might be there that day for available?
My guess is between 3 and 4. It just kind of depends on what our population's at.
I gotcha. Cool. All right. Well, this all sounds really good, Peyton. And one other quick question. You mentioned signing up, registering on the website. Can you just give me the website address for people who might be interested in pursuing this further?
Yes. You can go to humanesocietyofpinellas.org. And if you go under our events calendar tab, you can find the event there.
Perfect. Okay, great. Well, we're looking forward to it. It's a little over a week from today, and on September 21st. So it sounds like it's going to be quite an event, a lot of fun,
yeah.
And a great way to help raise money for the Humane Society of Pinellas, but to keep all their great work going. So thank you so much for joining us, Peyton.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Coming up on WMNF, it's The Conversation, the great show hosted by Mario Nunez and Joe King Carter. After that, we shift back to music programming with Jim Bannon holding forth. from 1 to 3, followed by the triumphant return of Nancy C. She's back hosting her own show, believe it or not, today, the Wednesday Traffic Jam from 3 to 6 p.m. So excited about that. And then at 6 p.m., our Wednesday, Terrific Wednesday night block of Latin music kicks in. So that's all coming up here on WMNF. And meanwhile, on this show, the prize for naming that animal tune, I'll be offering something fabulous from the Talking Animals Vault to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. It's named that animal tune on Talking Animals on WNF. Taking the guests to come in off the air because we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you'll join us again next week because February 18th I'll be joined by Marion Guzdala, CEO of Advocates for Service Animal Partners, Tampa-based organization, only national one though, dedicated exclusively to providing direct support, intervention, and mediation for disabled individuals who choose to use a service animal to mitigate their disability. So we've got plenty to talk about with Marion next week. I think he'll actually be joining us in studio since he's local and we don't get enough in-studio guests. I'm looking forward to that. So that's next Wednesday, September 18th. Meanwhile, I invite you to visit TalkingAnimals.net where we've got archives and podcasts of every show we've done just about. Also, links to our social media pages and more. And also subscribe to our newsletter to find out about our guests a couple of days beforehand and other news from the Talking Animals world. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. This is Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Brian and Clearwater Largo, Wikiwachi, and beyond. Stay tuned for the conversation coming up momentarily after NPR News headlines here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks so much.